One of the things here on this show that we often do is we talk a lot about what's going wrong with the world, but today we get to turn it in the other direction. We get to talk about something that's actually going right.
Hooray!
I don't know if you've been following the news, but it seems that they just announced that the Washington State Legislature has enough votes in both houses to pass same-sex marriage.
Indeed. And, you know, just like last week when we were talking about sopa pipa and not the Mexican dessert, is that this is... It seems like a political thing that Ask an Atheist wouldn't be involved in, but through long discussion, we've decided that, you know, this was something we're going to take sides on because we haven't found a secular argument against it.
Yeah, the thing that we found is that the opposition, the organized opposition to same-sex marriage, and this is apparently universal, is that it is overwhelmingly religious. You're listening to Ask an Atheist. This is Mike Gillis, and joining me in the co-host chair this week, Sam Mulvey.
Hello, hello.
And Jeremy Whitman.
How's it going?
So, you can give us a call today, wide open topic. the topic is you. So, you got emails, you got questions, you got phone calls. We want to hear them, we want to talk to you. But getting back to this topic of same-sex marriage.
Phone number, maybe?
Oh, you know, if you want to call us, it probably would be a good idea. Our phone number, 253-584-1480. Give us a quick call. We'd love to hear from you. But getting back to this topic of same-sex marriage, again, overwhelmingly, the opposition is, guess what? Religious. And in particular, the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
This is nothing new. This is what happens in every single state.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, this comes from the Seattle PI, who says that Catholic bishops to flock fight same-sex marriage. Washington's four Roman Catholic bishops have taken a four-square stand against the legalization of same-sex marriage, a cause rapidly gaining momentum in the state legislature. Catholics should contact their legislators and tell them, quote, defend the current definition of marriage against legislation to legalize marriage between same-sex couples, the bishops declared in a strongly worded pastoral note letter posted late Friday. Society's recognition of marriage is, quote, related to bringing children into the world and the continuation of the human race, argued the bishops. And any change of definition would, quote, add to the forces already undermining family life today.
This has been done unto death. We let infertile couples get married. We get postmenopausal women get married. We let men who have some sort of reproductive dysfunction get married. None of these have anything to do with children, but the Catholic Church allows and solemnizes these ceremonies. So how is marriage specifically for the procreation of children in this circumstance?
Well, the truth is it's not.
Right.
No, and as evidence of that, you can have a baby without being married, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that's the numbers on that are pretty high.
Yeah,
this is one of those instances where we've had these discussions about Christian privilege in the past.
Yeah.
Where that somebody who has a great degree of unfair advantages plays the victim when those advantages are taken away and the playing field is leveled.
Right, yeah.
In this case, they're playing the victim. Oftentimes, the new argument against same-sex marriage, not just the undermining of the family, which countless scientific studies have proven is not the case.
Right.
The new argument seems to be that this is attack on our religious freedom.
Right.
That religious freedom somehow extends to the duty, or at least the privilege, to tell other people how to live their
something
lives.
Something that has been done to death, I mean, we've talked about it, it's one of the most linked to articles on our webpage, it's something we talk about on the show a lot, is the fact that the idea that you cannot dominate other people, somehow because you can no longer tell the entire populace of a country or the entirety of Western civilization, you know, which hand to wipe their butts with, is suddenly an attack on religious freedom. That is not an attack on our religious freedom. You're safe. You are still free to go to your own country and do whatever you like in your own country if you're the Catholic clergy. You can't tell me what to do. You can't tell my friends what to do. You can't tell gay people what to do. They should have a right to this. The fact that they don't is a problem with the country that we are presently in the process of fixing.
And the Catholic Church has a real history of doing this on not just same-sex marriage, but they have rallied against the legalization of divorce in Ireland in the 90s and more recently on Malta.
Yeah.
They do this with any sort of ordination of female clergy members by smaller churches. It's something where they are so used to having their way without argument And for the majority of their history, they've been able to back up that authority with violence. And now that that ability to use violence has been taken away from them, and they're having to fight this out in, I guess you could say, the court of public relations. And they can't just say, do this or you're excommunicated. No, I don't care.
Okay, but you promised something. You said that we were going to stay on the good side. And this article goes on to say some really nice things.
It really does. Actually, a number of I would say not Catholic leaders, but...
Right. Well, leaders who are Catholic.
Leaders who are Catholic, and there's a distinction between those two.
Yeah.
Actually are supporting this. It mentions that the chief sponsor, Ed Murray, from Seattle, he's a state senator, said, my first reaction as a practicing Catholic is that this is very hurtful. And also mentioned Governor Andrew Cuomo of New York. He's a Catholic who pushed this legislation last spring. Martin O'Malley of Maryland is campaigning for same-sex marriage. These guys are all Catholic. So the question is when the leadership is so overwhelmingly anti-gay and sometimes goes really, really into, I guess you could say, talk radio mode in their opposition of it,
hey, why do these... We're talk radio.
Yeah, but we're the good talk radio.
We're one of the good ones. Did you just do that?
I totally just did that. The rules don't apply to me. If these guys are so good, we talk a lot about this, that a religious person is not their religion.
Yeah.
That oftentimes the morality that's displayed in the book is not the morality you get from even the fundamentalists.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but... This is a modern organization, the Catholic Church. If their leadership is so bad on this, why do these more moderate, progressive leaders continue to call themselves Catholic?
But this
smacks of something almost that the Catholic Church just kind of has to pay lip service to as a battle they're going to lose eventually in all 50 states, and will concentrate on what I call the emerging markets in Catholicism, which is Africa and other places where they do hold a lot of political power.
Yeah, South America.
And they just kind of have to oppose it on principle because they have to play their own game. This charade they're involved in, when they know that they actually can't really affect policy at this point on this issue, especially not on the West Coast.
Yeah, or actually in most of America. Even the GOP is having trouble, who is traditionally their platform for the last few years has been marriages between one man and one woman. There's a new generation of people who are registered Republican who just do not see this as a problem that the previous generations have. This problem is aging away. And it goes even further, and that this is, again, the sunny side of this is something that we've said on the show a lot, which is religious people, you know, everybody says that when we talk about the clergy of the Catholic Church and the Vatican and the fact they own their own country and a ridiculous amount of money, that we are somehow anti-Catholic or anti-Papist or some ridiculous nonsense like that. The truth of the matter is, Catholic people... People who are Catholic, especially, you know, here on the West Coast that we've met here and the people who are supporting this bill and whatnot, they're better than their religion. They're more moral than their religion. They're better to humanity than their religion dictates.
They're certainly better than their church.
And they're way better than their church, and they're way better than their country.
And I think we're seeing a bit of that in this debate in the state legislature now, which is that we're actually seeing a number of Republicans who have in the past been against this actually coming around on this issue. Mm. And I think that a lot of them, including my own state senator, Joe Fain,
right,
who's only 31. This is a state senator who's actually a year younger than me. But he's of that younger generation, and he hasn't made any sort of statements against that. I will say this, Joe Fain, please, you know, do the right thing. You're going to possibly be in public office for a long time past a lot of these other people. Do you really want to be the new Strom Thurmond? Do you really want to be that old guy who a long time ago, nobody really wants to talk about the stances you used to take?
Wow.
Or do you want to be somebody who's like, you know what? That guy was right before it was popular to be right.
Now, there's one more thing here that I want to talk about right at the end, if you'll indulge us.
Oh, absolutely. And basically the...
This is in the article.
This is in the article from the PI again. Upholding the present definition of marriage does not depend on anyone's religious beliefs, the bishops argue. Washington State's present law defining marriage as a civil contract between a male and a female is not grounded in faith, but in reason and the experience of society.
Now he's moving into reason. Now he's saying that there's somehow a social and scientific background for this. Prove it. Bring the evidence.
Well, upholding the present definition, it doesn't have to be religious, but changing it also certainly doesn't have to be religious.
No, it doesn't have to be, but now that he's bringing it into the arena of reason. He's taking it out of his catechism. He's taking it out of his dogma and is trying to bring it under the light of reason. You can't just say it's reasonable and then run away. You have to provide evidence. You have to show us that it's reasonable. We don't buy it. We here at Ask an Atheist have done years of searching, looking for secular arguments to uphold this, because we don't want to make any statements that don't support atheism and free thought and humanism. We haven't found any. We looked hard. There aren't any. If you have some, we'd love to hear them.
I think he's just equating reason with what they call common sense.
Right.
Which is just, this is the way things have already been, therefore it must have been proven to be true.
And my whole point is that it's not even common sense anymore. The people our age and younger just don't see it the same way the elderly clergy does.
I guess it's just a question of how irrelevant this church wants to be in the coming generation. That if they want to be a church that continues to hold on to antiquated ideas, bigoted ideas. I mean, according to Pope Ratzinger, who has said that he'd rather have a small, pure church than a broad church,
mm-hmm.
You know, good.
You're still calling him Ratzinger, not
Oh, yeah, he's I don't know, Herr Ratzinger, Darth Benedict, whatever you want to call him. He's an ugly little toad of a man. He's a bigot, and he's a clown, and The sooner the world is rid of him, the better.
Fair enough.
Cardinal Ratzinger, please die of old age.
There we go.
Okay, so on that happy note, we have a call from Mike from Seattle who wants to talk about gay marriage. Mike, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine.
What have you got for us?
Well, I'm going to disagree with you somewhat on your contention that the opposition to gay marriage is primarily due to religion.
All right, go ahead.
And my feeling is that it's actually due to the issue of male status. That homophobia in general is threatened, that actually the male status is threatened by homosexuality. And that you find that as long as gender equality is supported by a group or society, that homophobia decreases. Opposition actually comes about because religion has a patriarchal bent because of male status, and that in turn it gets a feedback loop, so that
and
the religion does involve that, but that is I think the ultimately it's not religious based, it isn't the origin of it, but
I can see that
status.
But one of the things that we like to say here on the show is that religion is the armor that dogma wears, is that the reason that this hasn't died already is because it's being protected by thousands of years of religious domination, is that it's built into, say, the source code of these religions, if you will, and it's the religious belief and this faith that is propagating these ideas. And if we didn't have those, if we didn't have that as part of these religions, if these religions would edit it out of whatever they are, that this would very quickly die.
Yeah, I only partially disagree with you,
I would say again, Mike, that this sexism, this patriarchy that you're talking about, is, like Sam said, written into the source code of this religion. Mm-hmm. The attitudes towards women, the attitudes towards men as people who are allowed to be leaders and women who are supposed to be subjugated, if not outright property, is written into all these major religions, and whether the letter of that law is followed, I guess you could say, in modern times. Certainly the spirit of it is in the more fundamentalist circles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that attitude still holds on. And like Sam said, you take that sort of authority, the idea that this dogma is something mandated by God, you take that out of the way, and this actually has to argue itself in the, I guess, in the arena of reason, it falls apart really quickly. And that's why when you argue about same-sex marriage, the reason we say that religion is a primary reason for opposition to same-sex marriage, every argument that I have ever seen where somebody has presented facts, every time you shoot those so-called facts down in opposition, at the bottom of it is always religious faith in God. I've never seen it go any other way. And in fact, every anti-gay marriage organization I've ever seen is explicitly religious.
Or explicitly backed by a church.
Yeah.
Well, you can't make an argument for it that doesn't involve religion without either sounding like an idiot or a bigot.
Yeah. I'm not disagreeing with you, Mike. I think you're right that it is sort of this patriarchal, that it's this the enforcement of gender roles in society. And there are secular versions of that that, you know, we've had to work on. That's why we passed the laws that we passed. That's why we've had the movements that we've had outside of religion. I'm not saying it's solely just a religious idea. However, I think that at this point, with the way society is moving and who's trying to hold it back, the prime movers in holding us back are the religious.
Yeah, it's a bit of a feedback loop there.
Very well put.
Absolutely.
And I just one other comment. You mentioned about the Catholic Church approving marriages where people who can't have children.
Yeah.
Actually, I was raised Catholic. Mm-hmm. Got over that, fortunately. But back when they, at the time when I was in school, that was back in the 50s and 60s, they made it quite clear as far as the requirements for marriage that if you could not have children, it would not be a valid marriage.
That's true.
Recognized by the Catholic Church.
Once upon a time, that was true, but that's something they've sort of moved on and they've softened on quite a bit.
I don't really
don't keep up with that stuff, so I'm not sure what their opinions are on that now, but I do remember back then that was a very important point, that if you did get married and you weren't able to have children, that actually that the marriage was not considered valid.
Yeah, and I think that's definitely something that they've changed on, kind of like the orientation of the Earth versus the Sun. Again, Mike, I want to thank you for calling us.
Okay, well, thank you for having your show.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thanks, Mike.
Hope to talk to you again. Yeah, if they can soften on infertile couples getting married, why can't they soften on this? Okay, yeah, it's kind of a slippery slope thing. However, there's no danger at the bottom of the hill.
They will over time as it becomes more important for them to do so or lose numbers in the country.
Yeah.
That's really what it is. That's the key thing, is that as this becomes something that has the potential to make them shrivel up and become irrelevant, they will change. Happens every time. Again, you're listening to Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. Today, we got open lines, open topics. We want to hear from you. Give us a call. 253-584-1480. We'll see you after 2 minutes.
Come to this year's Northwest Freethought Alliance Conference, March 30th through April 1st at Renton Technical College in Renton, Washington. Speaking at the conference is Richard Dawkins, Professor Emeritus of Biology at Oxford, author of many books including The Magic of Reality, and well-known to the atheist community as one of the Four Horsemen. Also speaking is friend of the show and author of Attack of the Theocrats, Sean Faircloth. The cast of Ask an Atheist will be making an appearance and recording an episode in front of a live audience. For more information, visit nwfreethoughtalliance.org.
Atheism TV. News, events, community, entertainment, debates, conferences. A massive repository of over 3,000 recent and fascinating atheist videos from all over the internet. Or watch The Infidel, our own regular news show. Visit the shopping area and buy something for that special atheist in your life. Or rent captivating shows, movies, and documentaries directly in your browser. Atheism TV, the world's best source of atheist videos. Visit atheismtv.com.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
Did you know that not a single psychic or paranormal event has ever been reproduced?
Have you ever wondered about the effectiveness of faith healing, Reiki, or sports bracelets?
Was 9/11 an inside job, or is that all just another unproven conspiracy theory?
Come check out the Seattle Skeptics, a group focused on lively debates and a critical examination of pseudoscience, alternative medicine, and anything else that hasn't held up to the light of the scientific method.
Seattle Skeptics was created for those who require a higher bar of evidence than gut feelings or blind belief.
We're not contrarians or cynics, we just want to see the evidence.
And so should you.
Check us out at seattleskeptics.org.
That's seattleskeptics.org.
Sigmund Freud said, "The voice of the intellect is a soft one, but it does not rest until it has gained a hearing." Whether you're at a point in life where you are questioning your beliefs, or if you've always been an atheist or agnostic, the Auburn Freethought Society is a place where your own voice of intellect will be heard. You'll interact with like-minded people, engage in intellectual conversation, and share your experiences with others in the Auburn, Washington area. At Auburn Freethought Society, we encourage critical thought and reason. For details, find us on Facebook and on meetup.com. Auburn Freethought Society. Have real discussion and share real ideas. Freely.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
And we are back. You are listening to Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. Today, the topic is you. That's open lines, open topics. We want to hear what you think, not just on the topic of the impending marriage equality in the state of Washington, but other things as well. And going back into current events, this one gets a lot weirder.
Oh, yeah. Jeez.
And we love weird.
Yeah, and it goes into something that we've talked about.
Yeah. This one comes from the BBC, but actually the BBC is not the first place I heard about this.
Of course not.
I heard about this on my favorite unintentionally hilarious radio show, Coast to Coast AM. But let's just say the culprits that they had in mind were a bit more mystical and weird than what the BBC, a more legitimate news source, has to say. This says, a mutilated horse killed in Scythian's field attack. A horse has died after being horrifically mutilated in a field in Cornwall, detectives say. Devon and Cornwall police say that the tortured animal died from severe injuries to its head and body. It is thought the stallion may have been sedated before the attack in Scythians. A mare and foal in the same field were left unharmed. Owner Don Jewell says that her horse's death has left her devastated and angry. Why would someone be so nasty and do that to a beautiful animal who's never done anything, she says. It's just gutting. I've had him since he was a foal.
Gutting's kind of a poor choice of words there, really.
From what I've heard of the attack, it is pretty horrific. Yeah. The horse lost one of its eyes, or just slicing it up. It's just awful. And it says that forensic searches are being carried out in the area, and a vet will perform a post-mortem exam later.
This part's not funny.
This part doesn't get funny.
No.
This is where it gets kind of weird. Police are investigating the mutilation of the horse in Cornwall, have said that they cannot rule out a link with a satanic ritual. The attack, which happened shortly after St. Wineball Day, a date on the satanic calendar, has promoted speculation of a ritualistic killing. Okay, what the hell is St. Wineball Day?
I have no idea. And is there a satanic calendar, and is this guy on it? I mean, and the thing is he goes on to say, obviously this is one line we're going to pursue, Inspector Chris Strickland said. But he added it is not the only line officers were investigating. I really can't blame the officer on this one, because he clearly, I mean, they talked about opening the lines to the public to see who said what, but it was there's a web forum that said, well, it matches up with a satanic holiday on the satanic calendar, and it might be Satanists because it matches up with the calendar and it's a mutilation. But that also suggests, if it was on Easter, would we have blamed the Christians?
Well, I guess only if the horse came back to life.
Fair enough.
At this point, it's just sort of silly, because I mean, why not just blame the chupacabra? I mean, this is what they do.
Yeah, no kidding.
They eat livestock.
And St. Wilmo's, I've never heard of it. I mean, if it happened on Ascension Sunday, would it have been the Christians? If it happened on Sysadmin Day, would it have been the Linux users? I mean, what other correlation do we have? And I understand that the inspector has to follow up on any lead he gets, because that's asking the public is occasionally a powerful tool in investigation. However, the problem here is the guy who came in and said, or the journalist who came in and said, was it satanic? Tell me about the Satanists. Please tell me about the Satanists.
Ugh.
This is how panics begin. If you'll remember our episode about satanic panic a couple seasons ago, this is how it works.
So we just got this note from Becky here. It says that the history of St. Wineball today as a satanic holiday date back to only 20 or 23 years ago.
No, long and storied holiday, then.
To a completely fictional special edition magazine produced by a California-based fundamentalist church at the height of the, a surprise, Sam, the satanic panic of the late 1980s. So, yeah, this is, again, one of those things where, have we ever actually apprehended and arrested one of these so-called secret cabals of Satanists that are vandalizing things?
I know individual Satanists have been arrested, but they were always lone actors and sort of with severe mental issues. We've never actually caught an entire, even part of a conspiracy of Satanists, even though that there have been court trials with the care centers, you know, with the child care centers that have been going on for 20 years. We've never actually caught, like, some sort of secret conspiracy of Satanists.
They're kind of the alligators in the sewers of the Christian paranoia.
Yeah, yeah.
They're demonstrably almost disprovable.
And in the 80s, ex-Satanists would tour, well, you know, Mike Wernicke, like we talked about, would tour the country talking about the time that he had a 1,500-person Satan thing, and that was entirely debunked. And
it was
now,
probably a rainbow gathering.
Maybe. But now it's all ex-atheists on the same circuits.
Yeah, there's a lot of money to be made among a lot of people who believe a lot of really dumb things. That you can say, hey, I used to be that thing that's new, really big and popular, and we don't like.
Yeah.
I'm surprised nobody has said they're a former wizard because of the anti-Harry Potter stuff, which really comes from the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, actually, speaking of gatherings of really horrible people.
Absolutely secret conspiracies that you can go to if you want to see things. March 30th through April 1st at Renton Technical College. There will be the Northwest Freethought Alliance Conference, and at that conference are some people you may know. Richard Dawkins from the Richard Dawkins Foundation. No. He's kind of an important guy, I've heard. Several books, yeah. And, you know, one of the Four Horsemen or something like that. I don't know. But also Sean Faircloth, friend of the show, great guy, really fun to listen talk. And some Ask an Atheist guys might be actually doing a live version of the show there after lunch, I think I've heard. So
yeah, whoever they are.
Yeah, I don't know. Not that important. So if you'd like to go to this conference, and I highly suggest you do, it's going to be a fun time, you can go to nwfreethoughtalliance.org.
Yeah, so. please go check it out. You know, these guys actually might be good at something.
Who knows?
I'm going for Richard Dawkins. I don't know who the hell these other guys are.
Okay, can we do the voicemail now?
Oh, yes. As you may realize, we do put up a phone number a lot, which, by the way, is 206-420-0997. Sometimes we get feedback, and sometimes the feedback kind of sounds like this.
I'm just calling in. Hi, my name's William Hart. I'm just calling in to ask an atheist. Let's just say you're a believer and you don't go to church, and let's say
easy enough.
Here's a hard one for you. Let's say you know the Bible and you're well versed in it. You know how hard it is to find a true teaching church?
I'd say it'd be impossible because I don't think any of the things they teach are true.
There are zero, so I agree.
Yeah.
There isn't one in the planet. So put that one in your thoughts.
Not inside the planet either?
Is this one of those 1930s novel things?
I want to see his research. I want him to show his
Edgar Rice Burroughs Hollow Earth things?
Yeah, is he going around with seismographs? I don't know. And that kind of petty, but we're going.
That'd be bad positioning anyway inside the planet.
Yeah.
You won't think we're mean after we play some more of this.
Fair enough.
And explain to me. I can explain to you why. Can you explain to me why? It's a babel confusion. The delusion is on. It's on you people as well. Just kind of amazing. This book predicts this is going to happen. People teaching false things. Adam and Eve ate an apple and all hell broke.
Here's a little thing to try out. This is a little bit hard. This is an idea for an impromptu contest to ask an atheist. If you can summarize the last three things that man said and come up with a coherent idea, we will probably send you something autographed by everyone on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
If you can figure out what the hell he's talking about.
It is lyrical. I'll give him points for lyricism. And it's got a very nice scan to it. I mean, I'll give him that. But he says that the Christians have it wrong, but then he goes back. I suspect we may have a Christ follower on our hands. I don't know.
If you're not familiar with the terminology Christ follower, I guess the analogy I always use is Trekkie Trekker, where you make up a secondary terminology just to separate yourself from all the people in your same group that you find embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm not an atheist. I'm a non-goddist. It's like, it doesn't mean, I'm not a Trekkie. I'm a Trekker. I don't have Klingon weddings. I do this other stuff.
I'm not an atheist. I'm a bright.
I'm going to make a lot of people angry right now, but God, I hate the word bright. I hate it.
We're not free of that one. We're not free of this particular trope.
How can a word be so
simple? The word bright has caught on?
It caught on for a while.
Has there been a schism yet? Are there light brights?
Let's do that.
How can a word be so simultaneously dainty and obnoxious and arrogant at the same time? I hate it. Yeah. I hate how... Was everyone else a dim?
That's what I didn't like about it. So shall we?
Oh, let's go on. Back into the word salad, children.
That's not even biblical. rapture, not biblical. Just Noah's family went in the ark, not biblical. But yet you have all these people teaching falsely around here. You know, can you answer me this? And there's a lot of other things that they're getting so wrong. And you ask an atheist people as well.
Well, we don't believe in it. So, you know, whatever it is, I've read the Bible. Many of us have read the Bible. Rich Lyons has clearly read the Bible. We don't believe it. So it doesn't matter if we get the minor details wrong, if the main brunt of the book is incorrect.
It's like people arguing about whether Spider-Man likes a Reuben sandwich according to a comic book. It doesn't really matter because Spider-Man's not real. And...
Comic book one, ding! Go.
Well, it doesn't matter how many people got on the ark, little points of contention like that, or that the rapture is not biblical, because we're discounting the magic factor.
Yeah.
So, convince us of the magic.
We don't see a population bottleneck around that time. It's not something, there's no 4, evidence.
4,000 years ago?
Yeah.
No. There'd be a huge die-off if the entire world drowned all at once. We would see it in the fossil record.
We would.
We do not see that.
We do see local flooding in the fossil record around the area.
We could do a 3-episode series on why that story is preposterous and still not even scratch the surface.
And not even touch how many people were actually on the ark.
No.
I would allow for a population of 500, and it still doesn't make any sense.
How many people had to be around to build the ark?
Yeah, no kidding.
For that to work.
Shall we?
Yes.
It takes more faith to believe in what you believe in.
I never heard that one before.
Does it take more faith to disbelieve people who say they've been abducted by aliens than it does to go, I'm going to hold back until you prove it first?
Yeah.
I think it takes less fear to believe what we believe.
I think you may have a point there.
That might be so.
Less fear. And just, you know, people don't understand what the word faith is, even though faith is their shield. They have a shield, don't know what it does, don't know how it works, but it's their shield.
Yeah, faith is when you pretend to know something you don't really know. You make assumptions about something rather than just say,
There's more to it than that. Faith is a many-valued word, but it's not what this guy is saying. Moving on.
Think about it. If you take and trace all the way back in evolution, then then we're all from a rock. If you trace it all the way back past the Big Bang, you're formed from a rock. So.
Right, so what... People come from dirt?
We might need to clarify that he was saying from a rock, a mineral, not the country of Iraq, where the Garden of Eden supposedly was. But yes, he was saying...
Garden of Eden was in Missouri.
Huh? So...
That's what the Mormons say.
We're going to have a fight.
From a stone, not from Baghdad, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay, but the thing is that we say, apparently, his characterization is that we believe people came from Iraq. And as, like, rock, boom, people. But that's actually what he believes, except it's dirt.
Yes.
That there was dirt, and then boom, people.
Yeah, that there was this
dirt
patch
magic
of earth, and God blew divine breath on it, and it turned into a person.
How is that any different from that? But then the insult.
I agree with most of the people today. They are rockheads. I'll agree with that.
Well, I like rock music.
But if you give me a call, maybe you can talk with somebody that can debunk atheism and Christianity and Catholicism and all this other junk that's going on.
Here it comes.
And we can talk about this if you finally want to meet somebody that can debunk all you simple, feeble-minded people. Give me a call. See ya.
I can whip any man in this bar. Any of y'all.
Yeah, well, you know, we'd love to have that conversation. We absolutely would. You can give us a call at 253-584-1480. We can't call you. We kind of have a show to do. But you're welcome to be a part of the show. You're welcome to give us some voicemail back if you do listen to the show. You suspect he does. He does listen to us.
I think he listens to the show. I think he's definitely cherry-picked some things around here and there. I'm sure we've been wrong on some biblical things here and there, or that there's points of translation.
Yeah.
That we're not working out of the same translation or the same version of the infallible mini-version Bible.
The problem with that is what infallible version are you going from is what it comes down to. We've gotten a lot of emails from people who say, well, your biblical contradictions show from 2 years ago has some errors in it compared to how I view my Bible. Who cares? We'll find a different set of contradictions.
Because you put on any religious show, and you're going to find another person from a different denomination. Oh, there's an error here, and there.
Get 6 people from the same church to argue about one verse. They can do it for days.
We're not using your specific translation book of the Bible. If you'd like to provide it
for us, this guy sounds like he's a denomination unto himself.
It sounds like he wrote his own Bible, almost.
Okay, I got to ask. Is it a Poe? Is this guy faking?
Oh, no.
I think we should probably define Poe's Law. Poe's Law is the principle that a parody of religious fundamentalism is indistinguishable from the real thing.
That's why I asked if he was faking. No. Is he faking? No?
I don't think so, no.
I don't think so.
If he called in, we could probably get a better register on that.
Yeah. It's really pat, and it sounds like he's got a really good delivery.
Mm-hmm.
If he is a Poe, if he is somebody who's faking, he's somebody who's faking with some long experience in doing mm-hmm. it. Like, maybe he came to atheism and decided to, you know, screw around with us. Or he's not, and I'm kind of leaning towards not. I think this is the real thing. So.
I always go from the assumption that somebody's telling the truth, and that because we know that person mm-hmm. who says those exact things is out there somewhere, so we might as well just assume it's this guy.
I don't trust people.
I know that people are liars and crazy stuff too, but
it's incredibly embarrassing to get into an argument with someone who you think doesn't believe in aliens and is messing with you, and then realize that you're not only insulting them on that level, but you're not taking them seriously in the conversation where you actually have a chance to make a difference in their thought, because you're thinking that they're pretending to be someone who believes in something crazy
yeah.
when they actually do. So I usually take them at face value.
I mean, I take them at face value, but there's you have to act like people say believe what they say. Otherwise, you're just going around actually building conspiracy theories. But I do wonder if sometimes, especially when we get stuff like this, where it just, you know, he says, well, stick that in your pipe and smoke it, you doorknobs, and at the point, you just wonder, is he really joking? Does he think we're really going to take him seriously at that point?
I think he's somebody who's never actually spoken to an atheist before.
Probably
and
not.
I think that's the reason he didn't call into the show. And yes, that is the sound of a gauntlet dropping, William. it's a lot easier to take the proverbial dump in the middle of the room and run away, say, ha, take that, than it is to try to engage us in actual conversation. But if you want to prove us wrong, if you want to prove us wrong about this assumption that you are just a troll, then please give us a call. Our phone number, 253-584-1480. And if you're not William, we still want to hear from you. We still want to hear your point of view. Give us a call. We're going to take a break in Ask an Atheist. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Maybe we'll get to emails.
Come to this year's Northwest Freethought Alliance Conference, March 30th through April 1st at Renton Technical College in Renton, Washington. Speaking at the conference is Richard Dawkins, Professor Emeritus of Biology at Oxford, author of many books including The Magic of Reality, and well-known to the atheist community as one of the Four Horsemen. Also speaking is friend of the show and author of Attack of the Theocrats, Sean Faircloth. The cast of Ask an Atheist will be making an appearance and recording an episode in front of a live audience. For more information, visit nwfreethoughtalliance.org.
Billy, I am a Nigerian prince, and I want to hide a bajillion dollars in your locker.
Wow, a bajillion dollars?
All I need is your lunch money.
What a great deal. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Just because you want to believe something doesn't mean you should. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled, week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
If you long to escape the religious bias on your television, if you love scientific shows, if you think that funny and thought-provoking are not mutually exclusive, then we'd like to welcome you to a network made with you in mind. Secular Video Network is an online source for free-thinking programs. We feature a range of videos from Mr. Deedy, The Thinking Atheist, and Richard Dawkins. While watching, you can participate in our live chat for engaging discussions. There is no cost, there is no proselytizing, just non-stop thought-provoking shows. So visit us at secularvideonetwork.com.
So, picking you up at 8 tonight?
Sure.
And how do I get to your place again?
Get off the freeway, turn left at the burger joint, past the Humanist Center, right at the...
What? Humanist Center?
Yeah, you know, the place where freethinkers have their meetings, hold events, access the resource library, drop their kids off for daycare.
This could be you and your friends in the near future. Contribute to the Humanists of Washington Humanist Center Fund to establish a physical home for freethinkers in the Puget Sound. Go to humanistsofwashington.org and contribute today. That's humanistsofwashington.org.
Tacoma Telematics wants to help you connect with your clients. We can give you a top-notch web presence. Tacoma Telematics can take your website to the next level and make it an essential part of your business marketing, but that's not all. Want VoIP? We've got it, bringing large corporation phone systems capability at mom-and-pop prices. We build intuitive interfaces to help you manage your resources quickly and efficiently. Take advantage of our holistic approach to make your business communications succeed effortlessly. At Tacoma Telematics, we're committed to personal and professional integrity, open communication, communication, and long-term relationships. See us at TacomaTelematics.com.
Join the Ask an Atheist after party at Doyle's Public House. The Ask an Atheist crew will be there at 5 for good beers, food, and you're invited. You'll find a dozen beers on tap, including Stella, Guinness, Smithwick's Irish Ale, Twisted Thistle IPA, and Fuller's London Porter, as well as dozens of domestic and imported beers and bottles. Join us for Good Atheist conversation and meet the crew today at 5 at Doyle's, 208 St. Helens Avenue in Tacoma.
Hey, Ask an Atheist fans and foes. The conversation doesn't stop when our show ends. Visit the official Ask an Atheist discussion forums and have your say on everything from episodes of our show, religious insanity, claims of the supernatural, and even nerdy stuff like comic books or Doctor Who.
The Ask an Atheist forum is the new place to discuss the latest writings of Christopher Hitchens, the latest insanity from the Catholic Church, or even what piece of fruit non-believers are supposed to fear this week. Visit us at forum.askanatheist.tv. Again, that's forum.askanatheist.tv.
And we are back. You are listening to Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. And today we are opening up the phone lines and the mailbag and hearing what you guys have to say. And we're going to dive right in with an email from Don from Richmond Hill, New York. He says, my question is, if you are the only child of a theistic parent, and when they die, are you going to honor their religion in the funeral or just do a secular funeral? What do you guys think?
You would do what they asked you to, I believe. If I had asked for a secular funeral, I would expect my family would not go ahead and have a religious service for me.
Yeah, I mean, that was this has happened in my family where my grandmother passed away and specifically did not want any service at all. She didn't. Mm-hmm. She wanted not even a secular service. She didn't really believe in the idea of a funeral. And we ended up, I mean, we had family in from out of town. I was back in Illinois for the first time in about 6 years. So we had a picnic, mm-hmm. but, it wasn't a funeral. It was just, we just went down to where we usually had our picnic and had beer. I mean, it was, mm-hmm. I really fully believe that we should respect the wishes of our friends and our loved ones, even if they're no longer, if they no longer care or can care.
It's somewhat treasonous to pretend that your father wasn't religious.
Yeah.
In that situation.
I agree. I think that I've mentioned this before on the show, that there was always something that offended me is when someone who was not particularly religious has that religion sort of retroactively put onto their funeral, like the priest is just there to sell you a timeshare with Jesus.
Yeah.
And I think the opposite is just as offensive, is I think that if a funeral is supposed to have any sort of purpose, it's to help us move on from that person's life. And it would just but not be right to not recognize who this person was. And if religion was a part of their life, and this is what they want, to honor that.
I get that the funeral is for the other people. It's not for the person who's died. It's for their loved ones and their family members. But the thing is that it's a celebration of that, of the dead person's life. You have to, if you're going to be respectful, if you're going to honor their memory, you kind of have to do it and honor their wishes as well.
Let's not retcon our relatives so quickly.
Exactly. You know, that is kind of something that other religious people have done. It's you know, there's a history of it. The Mormons are known to baptize people after they
presidential
died.
Candidates.
Yeah, things like that. It's not, I don't believe in that. And I love this. This question is really way more meaningful to me because it's not about my own personal death. When I'm an atheist, I go out in the community and I'm an activist. Somebody says, well, don't you care what happens to you when you die? No, I'm pretty clear about what happens to me when I die. It ends and I'm ended and there's nothing after that.
Well, what I'm concerned is what other people go through after I die.
It seems, what seems way more hellish to me, and I realize that this is a bit conceited and self-centered, is I worry about living too long and watching all of my friends disappear one by one. That terrifies me. Not my own death, but the death of my loved ones. And then seeing people disappear and all those stories I have and the life I have with my friends and just that ending, and then I have to kind of carry on without them. And I don't like that. I don't want to think about that.
I know that I've read this somewhere, and I don't remember who wrote this, but saying that there's a real value in, when you're old, having people around who knew you when you were young.
Yeah.
And I think there really is that, too. And I think if a funeral is supposed to mean anything, not just to the people who are left behind, but to the wishes of the person there, then it really should be a personification of who that person really is. I don't want a religious funeral for myself, and if somebody does want that, I'm not going to abuse them in the same way.
Well, interestingly, he pretty much answers his own question here and agrees with us entirely.
But this goes into something I've been trying to, since 2007, since the Part of the Problem days, I've really wanted to do an episode about death and atheism and stuff like that. And I've got a very specific idea about how I want to do it. Is the name of the show is What Happens When You Die. And it's not about what happens after you die, which is what, when people say, what happens when you die, they actually mean after. Mm-hmm. I want to know what happens in the dying process. If you are an atheist and you've had or you have atheist friends who have died, and you've got stories about that, I'd love to hear from you. Especially if you're a hospice care medical worker and you do end-of-life support. I would like to know what you do for atheists, if anything. If you have these stories, I'd love you to go to askanatheist.tv and click on the red button, or give us a call at 206-420-0997. That's our office number. That's not the number here at the station. And fill me in. This is a story I've been wanting to do since 2007, and I just haven't had the material to really make it what I want it to be. So if you could help me out with that, I'd love it. So
diving back into the mailbag.
Yeah.
George from Baker City, Oregon, who I believe has emailed us before, emailed us again, who said, what is your opinion of people saying Merry Christmas to you? Do you think you should return the greeting back? I do, because I think Christmas is mostly a secular holiday, and Christians have their own separate thing that goes with the birth narrative separate from the secular celebrations. What do you guys think on this subject?
Two sides. One, I love it when people weaponize the phrase Merry Christmas. You know, like I'm walking out of the door after I've just done a radio show, or I'm sitting in the booth at a street fair, and they come out and they go, Merry Christmas! And they look me directly in the eyes, and they put that oomph behind it to make it seem like I'm supposed to be offended that they said Merry Christmas.
It's the true spirit of the holiday.
Yeah, it really is. I go, Merry Christmas!
I've heard that same attitude, too, when somebody says, I'll pray for you, where I guess on its face, it's supposed to be a nice thought.
I will pray for you whether you like it or not.
Yeah, it's
like
really
sticking it to you.
Yeah.
I don't mind the term Merry Christmas at all.
Yeah.
I don't mind if they're bitter with it or whatever.
It's your holiday. You want me to experience the joy of it. Okay, that's cool with me.
Yeah.
I wish that was the attitude sometimes.
Sometimes it is. A lot of the times it is.
I say Merry Christmas all the time as an atheist because I enjoy the tradition.
Yeah.
I like Christmas too. Actually, one thing I've noticed, though, speaking of weaponizing, with this, I guess you could say, this manufactured war on Christmas that a lot of conservative Christians have come up with, is I work in retail, and over the past holiday season, I saw more and more people wearing these buttons that they must have gotten from the 700 Club or from Glenn Beck or whatever, that says, it's okay to say Merry Christmas to me, as if there's this tiny little underground group that's terrified of saying this or going to get fired. Let me say for the record, no one gets in trouble for saying Merry Christmas.
And, I mean, I have been on record as saying I don't like the social pressures of the holiday. I don't like Christmas. But the reason I don't like Christmas isn't because it's Christmas. It's because of the social and economic pressures it puts mm-hmm. people under. And I wonder if it's all really worth it for what you get. And, you know, you get more divorces, you get more suicides. It's for people
you get more
who are
awful Christian rock songs.
That too. And I don't like that part of it, but the idea that we're getting, this is why I like Thanksgiving better, is the idea that we're getting better, we're getting together to experience joy in our family units or as friends. I like that part of it, and I don't care if you call it Christmas. I don't care what you call it.
I've often said that I love Christmas, but I hate the Christmas season.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think you probably feel the same way, Sam.
I think so.
I hate the music.
Yeah, the music.
I definitely like the sentiment. I like hanging out with family and eating to gluttony standards. And
if I ever have to hear the Chipmunks Christmas album again in my life, something bad might happen.
All right, now that we all know Sam's trigger.
Yeah, now you know how to torture me. Why don't we move on?
Let's please. So this next one is a really interesting one. It comes from Michael from Liverpool, England. Oh, this is going to be good, so buckle up, children.
All right.
Hello, after watching something on the History Channel about Bigfoot.
The History Channel? Is there a way to do air quotes on the radio?
The History Channel.
That's it. It's all inflection. All right, got it.
And also reading from something from some insane person, you may be in peril. Skookum Meadows is in the state of Washington. Here is where the Bigfoot resides. However, for there to be a species of large hairy hominids to survive there needs to be a breeding amount of about 1,000. Otherwise, you would have gone extinct. They would have not have access to medicine or technology. They would have had classified now if there had been a breeding colony and would have been able to describe them as a corpse or whatever. So the only way for them to be as elusive as this, wait for it, there would only be one of them. Now some religious zealot has come up with an answer for who, not what, this Bigfoot is. It is Cain. Abel's brother. That's Adam and Eve's son. We all know it. We do.
Cain, not the bad guy from RoboCop 2.
I thought that Cain's brother was the Undertaker, but that's just...
Okay, when he described there could only be one of them, I mean, you know, here we are. We have inside us blood of kings. That's where I went, personally. I mean...
I think what he's saying is that there is only one Bigfoot, and he wanders around like the other Cain on Kung Fu, wandering the earth. Not fighting crime, but apparently just being spotted by campers.
But does he generally just stay in Skookum Meadows, or does he go international?
I think he's settled down. He's wandering the entire earth for a while, but now he's just like, you know what, I'm just going to bother campers every so often.
The Mormons would approve.
They would.
Yeah.
So basically, Cain was as cursed as basically after he killed his brother, and I guess he apparently became a 9-foot-tall hairy ogre?
Okay.
Okay. But this kind of typifies, thank you, Michael, for your email.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
This really typifies what I absolutely love, and one of the reasons I mention Coast to Coast AM again, is that I like when people marry their crazy to other brands of crazy, like where UFO meets Jesus, where the Antichrist meets chemtrails.
The David Icke experience is what you're saying.
I love it. Yeah. I love it so much when somebody goes, oh, I'm going to tell you about Bigfoot and his secret connection to the UFOs. And I'm just saying, I love that one most of all because as soon as Bigfoot gets a spaceship, he is officially Chewbacca.
That's true! We gotta make him a crossbow laser!
He would be a Mormon Chewbacca, according to his source here.
Oh, would he?
Oh, yes. Is he from Kolob?
Oh, yeah, he does quote the Mormons,
it
yeah.
It says the Mormon story. We don't have the link here. We should definitely put the link to the story on the website if it was included in the email.
Yeah, the link is actually pure gold.
Okay, I will include that in the show notes.
All right.
It is a beautiful, beautiful thing. So, yeah, we got another one. Amy from Arlington, Texas. I have recently only discovered your show and decided to... let's cut in on that. We have something way more important. Our friend Ed from Portland says something about God's advice popping up in the Republican debate. Ed, how are you doing today?
Fine. Did you watch that debate, by the way, gentlemen and ladies and so on?
Is this the recent Florida debate?
Yeah, the most recent one. They were asked, one question was, how important is religion and going to be in your new administration? And all of them said, you know, I'm going to listen to God. I'm thinking... Gee whiz, and everyone applauded that sort of thing. It's just, what do you guys think about that?
So well, that's nothing new.
I think on Facebook somebody said, I think it even may have been Deanna, said, well, if God is telling all of these people to run for president, God sure loves a loser and likes the entertainment of people losing.
Three of you guys are going to lose, and God's going to chortle. And then if one of those guys win, we're all going to lose, and then God's going to be unhappy.
I know that specifically the three presidential candidates who said explicitly that God told them to run for president, that's Herman Cain, Michelle Bachmann, Rick Perry, all three of them have dropped out of the race.
Yeah.
And how about Bush was told by God to invade Iraq? How'd that work out for us?
Yeah, jeez. That terrified me. Yeah, that, you know, God...
If you think God's telling you something, get a second opinion before you invade a country. Get a CAT scan.
Absolutely.
The next step is God told me to push the button.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, that's scary.
Yeah.
Michelle Bachman. Oh, my. End times. Oh, yeah, my gosh.
Indeed.
So, yeah, it's pretty scary that this is becoming such an issue. We talked a bit about this a couple weeks ago, talking about just how much religion is just soaked into politics this last time.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I want to thank you, Ed, for calling in and terrifying the hell out of us.
Thanks, Ed. We'll talk to you soon.
Alrighty.
Somebody ever chimes in at the end of that it was God's will that I lost to the other challenger.
No.
Never pops up.
Yeah. Well, God. Tebow did? Yeah, and I'm...
he could probably have a better shot at this point with the Republican field so divided.
That's true.
That is true.
No, let's not put ideas in his head.
Well, wouldn't he just lose for the entire primary and then just come back surprisingly at the end?
Yeah, he would somehow lose every vote but win anyway. That's true.
You know, Canada is looking nice this time of year.
Oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to...
Oh, I mean it as a joke.
Okay.
I'm too much of somebody who enjoys things awful.
I just remember all my friends in 2004 saying, I'm going to move if this happens, and it happened, and they didn't move. So.
Nobody ever does. They always say that. Rush Limbaugh said that. Everybody says that.
Oh, he did, yeah.
Yeah, he said if healthcare reform failed, that he would move to another country that has national health insurance.
Yeah, it there's a lot of... A lot of people do that, and I just kind of wish that would end.
Yeah, it's kind of lame.
All right.
Anyways, we have Chase from California.
Okay.
This is a really, really profound question, and gentlemen, I really want you to get ready to tax your brains.
Okay.
If the Big Bang created the world, then where did the atoms come from?
The Big Bang created Earth?
Yeah, that's what he's suggesting.
And then stopped?
Right.
It's starting to feel cold in this room, guys.
Well, shall we go to the first flaw in this question?
Go right ahead.
The Big Bang did not create the world. The Big Bang created the universe. The Earth was created in the sort of gaseous detritus of...
cosmic soup.
Yeah.
Of, and gravity.
Of a stellar nebula that created our sun, something like 10 billion years after the universe was created. For most of the existence of the universe, the Earth has not existed in the form that you see it now. The other thing, the other part of this question is, maybe if we construe world to mean universe, if the Big Bang created the universe, then where did the atoms come from? Well, clearly the Big Bang. This is a nearly a tautologist question, but it's like 17 words, and they still manage to get almost every fact wrong. It's great.
But a lot of these words I've noticed, I'm going to guess, Chase. I'm going to jump out on a crazy assumption here, but I'm going to guess you're probably a creationist.
Maybe.
I would highly recommend, one, don't go to talk radio to answer science questions unless it's a scientist who's hosting a show.
Yeah.
Like an astrophysicist. Then that would be a good guy to ask this question to. Two, stop using words like the Big Bang and evolution and all these things that come up, and you start using them interchangeably, because they're right. Really not. It's not like the Big Bang created this, and then suddenly a monkey jumped out of it, and then that monkey had a kid, and it was a human.
There
That's
is
not
a,
how this works.
There is a little bit of confusion in that we call stars aging stellar, or, you know, some of the stuff that happens on the stellar level, stellar evolution. But they don't mean Darwinian evolution. They mean something quite different.
Yeah.
They're not actually interchangeable. That's why they call it stellar evolution.
And also, where do the atoms come from? I don't know.
This is the
in their current state, the Big Bang, but I mean in the sense that I don't know if anything did predate the Big Bang or not. I'm not a scientist.
There's something you don't know?
Yeah, and you know what?
Chase is right about whatever he was going to postulate after this. See, obviously, if we don't know it,
we're
the Bible is right.
That clearly the magical answer is
right. Or if he's in Iraq, the Quran is right. Or if he's in China, then the whatever China thing is right.
So if you want a serious answer to this question, just Google Lawrence Krauss and some of his talks. He does a really good job of this.
And that should keep you busy for a few days.
Yeah, that should definitely keep you busy for a few days.
But it looks like that's all the time we have for this week on Ask an Atheist.
However, if you're listening to us online and on our stream, on our stream at askanatheist.tv, stick around for something. We're going to do something a little different today. Ask an Atheist Hour 2, but it's going to be online only. Check us out. Also, we're going to be at Doyle's, but today we're going to be at Doyle's at 5:30. So, I want to... All right, thank you very much, Mike Gillis, for hosting. Our co-hosts today were me and Jeremy Whitman.
Yo, yo.
As usual, our music was by Chris Coleman. Our production assistants were Rebecca Freeman and Darren Garvin. Our post-show is at Doyle's at 5:30. Ask an Atheist is an ADM Media production. You can call us at 206-420-0997. Or...
catch us online at askanatheist.tv.
Babel confusion, the delusion is on.